Thank you, Sherry. Good afternoon, everybody. Nice, cozy group this afternoon. Amy did a super job of kind of targeting what's been happening at the state level. I'm going to talk a little bit about our experience at the Winnebago County Health Department over the last 4 years in particular in dealing with this economic downturn and how we've tried to minimize the impact of that downturn on public health services and what we've done to stabilize, we think, the provision of services. We're not over the finish line yet, but we are moving forward. Unfortunately, these economic crises and other problems we face in public health don't always come with an instruction manual, and I think that's the benefit of coming together as public health practitioners to learn from each other. This is how we gain a foothold on what steps might be most appropriate to preserve what's important in public health practice. Next slide. You probably have seen this picture. It actually is used a lot by Dr. Bernard Turnock at the University of Illinois School of Public Health. He has a book, I think it's in its fifth edition now. I think the first several editions it included this picture. It really does feel like this. The drawing actually was developed originally by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention back in the early or late 90s. And so it's been around for a little over a decade, but I think the surface on that bridge is gone now. I think a lot of these programs are in the water. Even though their head might be above water, we're trying to hang on to the pilings there and get to shore sooner or later, get things back on track. Next slide. Winnebago County is at the very top of Illinois in many ways. And we serve a population of almost 300,000. Our budget for 2012, our current fiscal year, is a little over 13 million. That, when you compare that to NACHO evaluation of the NACHO profile of local health departments nationwide, when you break out departments by population size, we're roughly in the 50th percentile for our size range of local health departments in terms of the size of our budget. That translates into $45 to $50 per capita, depending on the annual variation in our budget. And that can even vary within a year, of course, in terms of new grants we might receive or lose and so forth. We're governed by a very astute Board of Health, and the administrator is full-time. Next. So this is a basic chronology of what we have been through. We had the good fortune, just serendipitous in terms of the timing, of early 2008 doing a very comprehensive strategic plan. We felt very strongly that we needed to look at our efficiencies as an organization. We thought there were opportunities, and we wound up coming out of that strategic planning process in early 2008 concluding that we needed to work very seriously on improving efficiencies in integrating services more comprehensively and on being very targeted in terms of our performance and measured. Between 2009 and 11, our Board of Health established strategic ends to help with that performance profile. We've established priorities. We've developed a balanced scorecard approach measuring performance and staying focused on what it is we think is important as an organization. And we've started the development in that time frame of a quality improvement plan using the Plan, Do, Check, Act. In 2009, we actually reorganized to help with our efficiency and potential for integration of services. We moved from 7 divisions to 4 centers, and so we reduced actually 3 division heads and wound up with 4 center directors. There were no pay increases because we really could see the writing on the wall for about 2.5 years. We reduced service locations to two primary locations that you saw on the beginning slide. We actually acquired a new facility, and we did that with the lease money. And in this economic downturn, that was one advantage. Property is much more reasonable and accessible. Contractors were hungry and very competitive bids in terms of renovating the facility we obtained. And so we really came out with a much more customer-friendly, staff-friendly environment in the process, and much more able to integrate the services that we were so desperately striving to do. Staff reductions, of course, had to take care of. And I'll get a little more detailed on this as we get into the presentation. We did as much reducing of staff as we could through early retirement and attrition, but serious staff reductions, as you'll see. We did everything we could to avoid this, but we did have to face a situation of laying off staff in 2011. That was the year we finished our community health improvement plan with many partners. And we did adopt in 2012 a quality improvement plan. Our Board of Health has now established a standing quality improvement committee. Next slide. Very focused on outcomes, what is appropriate for the community, our clients, and patients. Four cornerstones there in terms of measurable goals and objectives, establishing a very rigorous accountability system, revised organizational structure. As I mentioned, seven divisions to four centers. We established along with that some basic operational principles that everybody needed to function by and stay focused on. And we really are looking in terms of enhancing that that integration effort of empowering teams of employees to bridge program silos. And we're making progress there. Next slide. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these, but these are organizational practices, those principles that we talked about in one of those cornerstones, really looking at priorities, being very clear on that, making sure that we're moving forward with evidence-based focus, strong stewardship for the funds that we do have, communicating with stakeholders and stakeholder engagement, diversity, all of the right things we think that need to be on the table and very focused on. Next step. This is a busy slide. You don't need to absorb this. This is almost identical to the next slide, too. This is just to show you that for every program and service we provide, we actually went through an evaluation of the size of the health issue that it was designed to address, the seriousness of that issue, and the effectiveness of the evidence-based interventions. Does that sound familiar to anybody? That's very similar to the process used in prioritizing health problems in the community needs assessment. Well, we actually gave every one of our programs a ranking, and then we attached to that the very precious local dollars, the flexible dollars we have, and then we looked at this by quartiles. And a lot of exercise, a lot of process, if you will, to really understand more completely where our priorities were as an organization. Next slide. That's really the same thing, the third and fourth quartile programs, as it turned out. Next slide. We also ran these programs through another filter. What are the mandatory services based on state rules and regulations in Illinois? What's required for certification and eventual accreditation as a local public health entity? And then what's required by our local health protection grant? In the state of Illinois, the only flexible funding we get other than local property tax levy support, if you're fortunate enough to have that in your community, and we do, is also what is the local health protection grant comes from the state health department. And so far, knock on wood, that has been untouched by the state legislature despite real tough times in Illinois, as all of our states are facing. So what are the required programs to get that grant? And then what's required by the community health improvement plan? And then all other programs. So that was sort of an additional filter. The next slide shows you how we've how we've consolidated that information into a table. Now, this is just a made-up table, but this is actually the table headings, looking at each program that we are seriously considering for moderation or elimination, even potentially. What is the priority in terms of that original assessment, two slides back, the real busy slide? What is the mandatory status in terms of that diamond or the triangle that we looked at? What is the levy support that it takes to do those services? And the local money, not counting grant money in that picture. Is there a way that we can partially do those services? Yes or no? And then is there are there other providers that could grow to a level of absorbing all of this if we weren't to do it? And so this is how we've kind of looked at this. We've gone through this exercise with our Board of Health. We will be using our and have used our policy committee as a sounding board for recommendations using this process, and ultimately then going to the full Board of Health. Next slide. This is the economic picture that we've experienced over the last 5 years, and actually it's fairly surprising when you look at it until you really understand what's going into this. You know, we were fairly flat for 3 years in the midst of this downturn. And I think the primary reason for that is what happened in 2009 and 2010, H1N1, and a lot of locals and states got preparedness, enhanced preparedness dollars to address that. And so this was artificially being propped up by that unfortunate experience that we all went through. I think, frankly, we're very successful in our own approach to that because of all the work we had done preparedness-wise, but that's beyond the scope of the discussion. But you can see what happened when that money disappeared. You know, we dropped enormously, $2.3 million and in 1 year. And had we not been addressing the staffing through attrition and early retirement kinds of things and downsizing as we went forward, even as these years stayed fairly steady in 08 through 2010, we would have had enormous layoffs. So again, our strategic planning, our move towards efficiency, our move into two facilities instead of six allowed us to be more efficient. And not needing as many staff to do almost the same level of services. And so we're extremely proud that we came through this, albeit as tragic as it was for a number of our precious employees. There was simply no alternative. Next slide, taking a look at our budget in comparison to, again, that NACHO sample that I talked about earlier, in describing the profile of local health departments. It's a big size range in terms of the population looked at in our size group. 100,000 to 400,000, we're just at the a little above the middle there at about 300,000. And you can see our funding compared to that state sample in terms of categories of funds. We don't get as much local support as most local health departments in that size group. You can see the difference there. The state has wrung almost every last state grant dollar out of our funding stream and so has become a much, much smaller a portion of our budget. The federal portion of our budget has become much larger. We're very dependent on state grant funds. That makes up about 60% of our total budget. State and federal money. Medicaid, Medicare, not as big. I think what's going on there is that size range again. Locals in that 100 to 200,000 size population, 100 to 200,000 population size, a number of those locals still have home health programming and Medicare reimbursement. And so I think that's what's going on here in terms of that difference. Not perhaps completely, but that's at least a piece of it. I'd wide open to other thoughts from the group in terms of that difference. Fees were right in the same ballpark and so forth. So that's we came through this looking at we're still largely grant dependent. That hasn't changed. We still need those precious local dollars, and that we've been able to maintain fairly steadily. Next slide. Cash is king in this environment. I think everybody realizes that if you're managing any kind of budget. Accounts receivable varies throughout any fiscal year, but at year end, just taking a look at the trend, you can see the general trend, even though it's not a consistent line. It is a line, unfortunately, up, that accounts receivable states way behind in paying in Illinois. They've tried to improve that with an actual personal income tax increase, very bold move in the midst of this recession. The only way Illinois could start digging its way out of that hole. And that has improved the accounts receivable year-end picture a little bit, but not enough. And we have times where it's very much bigger than this. And so you've got to maintain a cash balance to get through this, to pay bills. Next slide. This is the personnel impact. 57 full-time equivalents starting at about 200. I mean, a little over a quarter of our workforce has been affected by that kind of economic drop. And yet we're still maintaining, because of our consolidation focused on integration, we're still maintaining the bulk of the primary services, the core services that have been provided, maternal child health services, communicable disease, environmental health, and so forth. Next slide. This is what we're not doing, and you can't have that kind of reduction in staff and dollars without going through some changes. A very precious outpost in the northern part of our county, about 20 miles from the center of our county, population center of our county, where our two main offices are located. We had an important outpost in this northern community right along the Wisconsin border that served a lot of MCH needs up there. And very tragically, we had to close that facility. We hope to reopen it at some point in the future. We know that's made some difference in accessing services for that segment of the population. We have a lot of active outreach still by field staff in that area, but it is making a difference. We've had to reduce sexually transmitted infection disease clinic hours. We've reduced caseload in a number of programs, including our breast and cervical cancer program. We have a wait list there, which is ridiculous. We've actually put some precious local money into that because of cutbacks at the state level to try and make up for some of that difference, but still not all the difference. Groundwater protection services have very much, had to be cut back. Neighborhood environmental outreach services and follow-up on complaints and housing conditions and so forth, our response time has increased substantially. Our reduction, these figures are not current. I meant to change that line, but it didn't get changed. We went through a 28% staff reduction across all levels within our organization, support through managerial staff. We've expanded numbers on individual caseloads. Our staff, fewer staff, same caseload, you're carrying a much larger caseload on a number of our maternal child health programs. HIV case management, actually the Illinois Public Health Association provides those services, and we actually chose, because of new funding formula, to step back from providing those services and gave it all back to the Illinois Public Health Association to provide, where they provide it for, I believe, 5 of the 7 regions in the state. Teen parent services, total elimination of those dollars by state funding, and so that we didn't have much alternative. We didn't have the local dollars to keep that program in place. Intensive prenatal case management, important outcomes in that program. We have a wait list. That's the downside to all of this. Core services are still there. Next slide. This is a little rosier picture of how we're trying to move forward. We've continued to be very aggressive at going after grants. We've been able to get a modest-sized grant from the National Business Coalition on Health that was used to support our community assessment and community health improvement plan development project. A maternal infant and infant and early childhood home visiting program. We were one of six communities in the state through competitive funding proposal to be funded to continue to strengthen our home visiting, and very much in partnership with other organizations in the community that have expertise in doing certain evidence-based home visiting as well. And so probably two-thirds of the dollars of that program are going to community partners and not just to support our own staffing. We Choose Health was a community transformation grant from CDC that is helping us move forward to be more aggressive in addressing, in partnership with a number of other community organizations, chronic disease in our community. Lead hazard demonstration grant, direct federal dollars to reduce the lead hazards in our community. We were fortunate enough to get that grant as well. Strong Starts has been applied for. We do not know yet if we're going to be funded, but again, very focused on improving high-risk maternal child outcomes. Very much needed in our community in terms of our needs profile. The Illinois Public Health Association, those starred, those two above, and the one note below the blue table here, talks about three initiatives that were really, the Illinois Public Health Association, our professional association in Illinois, was very instrumental in actually providing the coordination statewide to write for the We Choose Health Community Transformation Grant dollars in partnership with academia and the Illinois State Health Department. We were one of the fortunate beneficiaries to be funded out of that. Strong Starts, they also, the association, brought together all of the statewide partners, the Maternal Child Health Coalition, academia, IDPH, all in terms of a shared partnership application that we hope will be successful. And then lastly, we just heard recently in the last few weeks that we have been funded through CDC statewide through the Illinois Public Health Association again to support third-party billing, the development of a third-party billing services for local health departments around immunizations to start with, and we hope that'll expand into other billable services. And so, again, you know, it's not, we need that professional association support. It's the big tent in Illinois where all public health practitioners are able to come together, academia and practice alike, and begin making a difference in terms of this downturn. And these are some real positive examples of how we've begun to do that in Illinois. Next slide. This winds up still being a three-legged stool, as I see it. You know, we need strong planning within our organizations. We need to be very clear on what our mission is as a local health department, as a state health department, our mission, what are our priorities. That's the strategic planning component. We need to continue on the track of doing in partnership with others in our community, community needs assessment, developing community health improvement plans, and making sure that our priorities align well there across organizations, and that we have a quality improvement, a continuous quality improvement approach to what we do. Those are the three legs that I think can get us through most economic struggles, but we need to stay focused, and we need to plan ahead for a lot of different options. Next slide. This is the last slide, and I find it amazing that this came from 100 years ago. I think maybe some of you have seen it before. Herman Biggs was the health officer for New York City back in 1913 for a period of time in that era. And he said at the time, knowing what they know back then, that public health is purchasable. Communities can decide their health status by how they choose to allocate funding. It is much truer even today. We know that much more over the past 100 years. Very important, very profound, I think, statement. And particularly in the context of health reform and being able to manage the out-of-control healthcare costs in our society that are totally unsustainable. I think as public health practitioners, we understand that as completely as anybody. And public health offers much of the solution there in partnership with our medical partners. So thank you very much.